Amen. All right, well, we're there in Leviticus chapter number 26. And tonight I'm preaching a unique type of sermon entitled The Christian Response to the Coronavirus. And I want to just teach you that how we as Christians should be responding to these types of things that we are experiencing today in our nation. And just by way of introduction, I want to explain a little bit about the judgment of God in regards to what we're seeing here. And I would encourage you to take notes and write some of these things down. This is going to be something that people are going to be talking about for a while. And you may have the opportunity to be able to minister to other Christians and even unbelievers. And in regards to these things, and it'd be good for you to have a biblical foundation for how we are to respond to these things. I'd first like you to notice, just by way of introduction, that pestilence is a judgment that God uses to judge a nation. Are you there in Leviticus 26? Look at verse number 25. The Bible says this, "And I will bring a sword upon you," that's referring to a military judgment, "and shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant." And then I want you to notice what he says. He says, "And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy." I want you to notice there that God is speaking to the nation of Israel. He's talking to them about the fact that if they turn away from him, if they are rebellious, if they choose not to take heed to his covenants, to take heed to his laws, that he would gather, when they're gathered together, that he would send the pestilence. That word pestilence is defined as a contagious or infectious epidemic disease that is devastating. Now, keep your place there in Leviticus. We're going to come right back to it, but go with me to the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 28, and look at verse number 21. You have the book of Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Keep your finger there in Leviticus because we're going to come back to the book of Leviticus throughout the sermon tonight, but go to Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 28, and look at verse number 21. Here again, we have God just explaining curses that he would send upon the nation of Israel. Deuteronomy 28, verse 21, the Bible says, "The Lord shall make the pestilence," again, a contagious or infectious epidemic disease that's devastating. He says, "The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption." The word consumption there is talking about a disease that would waste away at your body. He says, "And with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with the blasting, and with the mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish." Skip down to verse number 58, same chapter, Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. He says, "If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of the long continuance," notice these words, "and sore sickness, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou was afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also every sickness, and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed." So I want to just begin by saying, look, because we have to realize, and honestly, right now, you know, there's a lot of information, and we're not sure what's the truth and what's not the truth. And people have asked me, you know, "Do you believe that this is the judgment of God?" And look, here's what I believe. This very well can be the judgment of God. And, you know, obviously when you look at the plagues and the pestilences in the Bible, they are huge. I mean, God kills 23,000 people in one day. And even outside of the Bible, things like the Black Plague killed one third of the population of the continent of Europe. You know, obviously God can bring pestilences. And is this, at this point, you know, we're really at a place where this could blow up and become a huge thing and an epidemic where people are dying, or it could fizzle out. It's really hard to tell. Either way, I believe God is in control, and I believe that this could be a warning shot, or this could be God judging. But we need to understand this. You know, as Christians, we should realize when we hear about epidemics, I know we don't trust the government, and I get that. I don't trust the government either. But be careful about having this attitude where, oh, it's always being blown out of proportion. No, there's no plague that's going to come upon this nation. Look, nations are not judged in the next world. They must be judged in this world. God is a righteous judge, and God does send plagues and sicknesses, and he sends pestilence as a judgment of God. So is this the judgment of God? It may very well be. And depending on, and it's definitely a warning from God. And depending on how bad it gets, it can be one of these things where God is judging this nation. But I will say this, pestilence can be used by God as a judgment, but also panic can be a judgment of God. Are you there in Deuteronomy 28? Look at verse 65. Now, we're definitely experiencing this in our country. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 65. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there, notice, a trembling heart, and falling of eyes, and sorrow of mind. Notice verse 66, and thy life shall hang in doubt. I mean, isn't that what a lot of people are experiencing right now? Their life is kind of hanging in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have no assurance of thy life. In the morning, doesn't that sound like America today? In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. Go back to Leviticus 26, if you would. Leviticus chapter 26, look at verse number 16. Leviticus 26 and verse number 16, the Bible says this, I also will do unto you. I will even appoint, notice what he says, Leviticus 26, 16. God says, I will even appoint over you terror. Isn't that a term that we're very used to in the United States of America? Terror and terrorism. Since September 11th, this nation has been has had fear brought upon it. And this is the judgment of God. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, and shall consume the eyes, and cause sorrow of hearts, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. Look at verse 36, same chapter, Leviticus 26, and verse 36, the Bible says this, and upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the land of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them. And they shall flee as fleeing from a sword. And they shall fall when none pursueth. And I want you to remember that little phrase there. They shall fall when none pursueth. And we'll come back to that here in a little bit. And I want you to understand, just by way of introduction, that pestilence can definitely be a judgment of God upon a nation. And panic can be a judgment of God upon a nation. And I would just say this. You know what? As Christians, if this is the judgment of God, And maybe you say it is, and I don't have a problem with saying that, but I'm saying even if it gets to an extreme like what we see in the Bible, where God is just bringing his wrath and destruction upon this country and people are dying, as Christians, we need to realize that we serve a righteous judge, that we serve a righteous God, that God is always right, that God does not do wrong. And I don't really understand how you and I can really sit back and not really be surprised to think that God might judge a country when you look at the amount of children that are being aborted in this country every day. When you look at the fact that this country is promoting the LGBT agenda across not only this nation, but across the world. When you look at just all the filth and all the problems that this country has, the drugs, the alcohol. When you look at the things that are happening in this country, would it really surprise you if God would bring a plague upon this nation? If God would bring pestilence upon this country? So look, as Christians, we need to realize that God does judge nations. God judges nations upon this earth. And the United States of America, whether it's happening now, or we know this, it will be judged by God. You cannot allow, you cannot promote, you cannot condone the amount of violence that this country has promoted and condoned, and not expect for God to do something. So the question is this, how should you and I as Christians respond to plagues and panic? How should we respond to pestilences and fear? And what I have seen over the last several days and weeks is really two extremes, and both, in my opinion, are unbiblical. And I want to just explain to you what these extremes are and why we should not go to these extremes, and what is the proper response of a Christian during a time like the one we're experiencing, and even a time that could get much worse. Because things could get a lot worse in this country over the next several days and over the next several weeks. So I'd like you to just maybe jot these things down. The first unbiblical extreme is that of complete panic. And I mean, there are many people that are at this extreme right now. People who are just completely panicked and scared. They're fearful. They're afraid of what's happening in this country and what may happen to them. And I want to explain to you, just kind of give you a theology of fear, what it is that the Bible teaches about fear. Now, keep your place there in Leviticus. We're going to come back to it. Go with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. In the New Testament, if you find all the T books, they're all clustered together. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus. Go to 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. And let me just give you some thoughts in regards to fear and what the Bible teaches about fear and what you and I should believe about fear, just kind of a theology of fear. And when it comes to what we should believe about fear, you need to understand a few things. Number one, fear is not of God. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. What did he give us? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. Look, if fear and anxiety is causing you to have, you know, problems and to be afraid and you're having panic attacks because of what's happening, that did not come from God. God has not given you the spirit of fear. Fear is not of God. In fact, the only thing that the Bible ever tells us to fear, the only thing we're ever told to fear in the Bible, is to fear God. We are to fear God, and when we fear anything else, it's not of God. Go to Matthew chapter number 10. Matthew chapter number 10, look at verse 28. Matthew chapter number 10 and verse 28. Matthew 10, 28, first book in the New Testament. Matthew 10, 28, the Bible says this, Jesus said these words. If you have a red letter edition Bible, these words are in red. He said, "And fear not." And by the way, those two words, "fear not," you'll find that Jesus said that over and over and over again to his disciples in the Gospels. He's telling them to fear not, fear not, fear not. He says, "And fear not them which kill the body." Oh, Pastor, you know, this coronavirus was created by the government. They're trying to kill us all off and put us in FEMA camps. And here's the thing. Maybe that's true, but you know what? Fear not them which kill the body. Oh, this coronavirus was created by the Chinese. They want to destroy capitalism, and they're the ones that... Okay, maybe. I don't know. But fear not them which kill the body. You know, hey, you say this is a man-made thing. Okay, maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Either way, God says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. See, the Bible tells us that we are never to fear. We're never to fear man. We're never to fear what man can do to us. A theology of fear is this. Fear is not of God unless you're fearing God. Because the only thing that we should fear is God. Go to Psalm 33. If you open up your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms, Psalm 33. Look at verse number 8. Psalm 33 and verse 8. Psalm 33 and verse 8, the Bible says this, "Let all the earth," Psalm 33 and verse 8, "let all the earth fear the coronavirus." Is that what it says? Let all the earth fear the collapse of the social economic culture. Let all the earth fear the collapse of the stock market. Let all the earth fear the collapse of the dog. Is that what it says? Let all the earth fear the Lord, the Bible says. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. So in the Bible, we are told, if you want a theology of fear, what it is that the Bible teaches about fear, here it is. Fear is not of God, and the only thing we should ever fear is God. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now I realize and I understand that there are people that are fearful and afraid, and they're not sure what's going to happen, and they're filled in their hearts with anxiety as to what's going to happen. You say, well, how do we cope with fear? Well, there's two things. Number one, we ought to trust God. You're there in Psalms. Go to the book of Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 25, the Bible says this. Proverbs 29 and verse 25, the Bible says this. The fear of man bringeth a snare. The word snare there is a reference to a trap. When you fear man, you're going to get caught up in a trap. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Notice the contrast. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. You say, how do you fight fear? How do you cope with fear? Well, you've got to trust God. The Bible says, whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. And by the way, let me just explain something to you. You're there in Proverbs 29. Just flip back to Proverbs 28 and verse 1, and let me explain something to you. It is wicked people who respond in fear. It is wicked people who respond in fear. Proverbs 28 and verse 1. Notice what the Bible says. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Have you ever thought about that verse? It's kind of an interesting verse, isn't it? The wicked flee. No one's pursuing them. No one's after them. Nothing's happening. But wicked people, look, the Bible teaches that wicked people live in fear. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. And that's what we're seeing today. I mean, go to the grocery stores today and you'll find aisle after aisle just barren. People are just running scared, knowing not what to do. I mean, they are just afraid. They're it's like you're going to die of coronavirus. So, you need as much toilet paper as you can get your hands on, apparently. Apparently, toilet paper will keep you safe from the coronavirus. I don't know. You need as much toilet paper as you can get. You can't find toilet paper, you can't find paper towels, and you can't find cup of noodles, or something. And today, I mean, people are just in a panic. But you know why Americans are in a panic? Because Americans are wicked. The wicked flee, the Bible says, when no man pursueth. The wicked are afraid, and they're nothing even has to actually be happening, and they'll be scared. And then we as Christians, we just follow suit. The media tells us to panic, so we panic. The government tells us to panic, so we panic. But the Bible says this, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Here's the contrast, but the righteous are bold. The righteous are bold as a lion. The wicked will always respond in fear. You say, what if this is real? What if this is true? And what if it actually comes and it hurts us? And people we love die or we get sick. Hey, look, either way, we should not fear man. We should trust in the Lord. And when we trust in the Lord, the Bible says we'll be safe. I'm not up here preaching a prosperity gospel to you and telling you that you can't get sick, and we'll talk about those things later on in the sermon, but I'm telling you this, our trust ought to be in God. Isaiah 41 and verse number 10. If you keep your place there in Proverbs, we're going to come back to it. I know you've got your place in Leviticus. Keep your place in Proverbs also, and go to Isaiah 41. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah 41. You say, look, if you're in a panic right now, if you're in a panic today, it's because you're not trusting the Lord. If you're watching this sermon from a bunker, a.k.a. your attic, because the coronavirus can't get you there, right? Your basement. Now look, and we're going to talk about it here in a minute. If you're sick, you ought to stay home. If you are susceptible, if you have pre-existing medical conditions, look, all of those things, if you have those legitimate, concerns about that, that's fine. Your kids are sick. We have many families that would love to be here this morning or tonight, but their kids are actually having fevers and fighting the flu. Hey, we understand that. We're all for you. If you have a legitimate concern for for why you're staying home or doing those things. We are for you. We're not mad at you. We understand. We want you to stay home. We want you to get better. But let me just say this. There are some people, though, that are just in a frenzy and in a panic. You know, and the problem is not, you know, they're healthy. They're self-quarantining even though they're healthy. And I'm not talking about the government told you to self-quarantine. I'm saying nobody's told them anything. They're just like, you know, they're not going to come to church for the next 6 months. Because, look, and I'm just telling you, if that's you, you're not trusting in the Lord. And, you know, I think a lot of us get frustrated because we know those people. You know, even when there's no coronavirus, it's like, flu season is here. I'll see you next, you know, summer. And it's like, good night. Why do you live in fear? You know, sometimes, I never say this, but sometimes when I ask people, are you that wicked of a person that you're just afraid that God's just going to kill you? Instantly? I mean, what are you doing? The wicked flee, the Bible says, when no man pursues. You say, well, how do you cope with fear? Because look, it's human nature to fear. We all have the temptation to fear. How do you cope with it? Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not. Fear thou not. And look, we could spend the entire night looking at verse after verse after verse where we're commanded not to fear. Fear thou not. You say, why? For I am with thee. Amen. Be not dismayed. What does dismayed mean? It means you're anxious. It means you're without courage. You're without confidence. You just don't know what's going to happen. Hey, be not dismayed. Why? For I am thy God. And you know why the world today is fearful and dismayed? Because God's not with them. Because God is not their God. Because they have no confidence in anything outside of themselves. I mean, isn't it interesting that our society is taught? Our society is taught there is no God. You don't need religion. You don't need a God. You're strong enough. You're powerful enough. You evolved and you can do it all. And then a flu on steroids shows up. And all of a sudden, we realize how frail we really are. You say, well, aren't you afraid? Well, God says, fear thou not. You say, well, why? Because you're so big and you're so tough. No, the Bible says, for I am with thee, God says. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So how do we cope with fear? Well, we must put our trust in God. Look, you trusted God. If you're saved, you trusted God with your eternity. You trusted God with your spiritual health. You can't trust him with your physical health. Another way that we should be coping with fear as believers is not only for ourselves to trust in God, but we should also encourage others to trust in God. Isaiah 35, if you would, look at verse 3. Isaiah 35 and verse 3. Notice what the Bible says. Isaiah 35 and verse 3, the Bible says this, strengthen. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Look, the Bible teaches that we as Christians need to learn to trust the Lord and cope with our fears. And look, you're not helping anybody and you're not helping anything when you're out there on social media or whatever, at work or with your family, and you're acting like the sky's falling and everything's... Look, God's people need to be showing the fact that, yes, there may be an epidemic coming, the judgment of God coming upon this nation, but we're not going to fear. We're going to trust in God, and then we can go and find... Look, we talked about it on Wednesday night. Of course, these unsafe... Look, of course, these Chinese communists, God-rejecting... Of course, they're scared out of their minds. They have no God. They're in this world helpless and without hope. Alienated from the love of God. And you say, well, what about the people out here? They're all scared and afraid. Well, of course they're scared and afraid. They're out there alienated from God. They're out there without hope in this world. They are helpless. What do they need from us? They need you and I to come alongside and say, hey, be strong. Fear not. Look, I'm afraid that we as Christians are going to miss some great opportunities to be able to share the gospel with some people right now that are scared of death. Look, they're scared of death, and we should be walking up to them and saying, you afraid of dying? Now, I'm not saying you ought to knock on somebody's door and say, if you were to die of the coronavirus today, do you know? You know, I'm not, maybe you don't want to use that terminology, but I'm telling you, look, we've got an answer for eternity. We've got an answer. So why are you running scared? Why are you in a panic? Why are you in a frenzy? Why are you being fearful? Look, there's one extreme that is just complete panic. You know, just in a bunker somewhere, wrapped up in toilet paper, just, you know, hoping that you survive Armageddon. And this is not the response of a mature Christian. The mature Christian is to trust God. And the mature Christian is to strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Keep your go back to Proverbs, if you would, Proverbs 21. So there's one extreme that's unbiblical, and it's the extreme of just complete panic. And that's the extreme that you see unbelievers doing. But that's also the extreme that you see a lot of worldly Christians or Christians that are not grounded in the Word, and they're just following the world in complete and fearful panic. That's one extreme. But then there's another extreme that's also unbiblical. There's the extreme of complete panic, and then there's the extreme of a lack of precaution. The extreme of a lack of precaution. And please understand this, and I just spent the last several minutes teaching you and preaching to you that we ought to trust God. But please understand this, that we should trust in the Lord and take precautions. We should trust in the Lord, and there's nothing unbiblical. What's a precaution? It is a measure taken in advance to avert possible evil or to secure a good result. And what's funny to me, go to Proverbs 21. What's funny to me is I made a video, right? And I said, hey, you know, at Verity Baptist Church, here's a few precautions we're going to take at Verity Baptist Church, you know, just to make sure everybody's healthy, just because we realize that there are some people that are in a complete panic, and maybe if they know that we're not going to try to shake their hand, if they know that we've got hand sanitizer for them, if they know that we're taking certain precautions, maybe that'll help them come to church. We want them to come to church. We want them to be under the preaching of the Word of God. You know, I make a video saying we're going to take some precautions, and then people are just blasting us on the comments. You're not trusting God! You know, the funny thing is that I went soul winning this weekend. I went to church this weekend. Those people saying those things probably didn't do either. Well, you're not trusting in the Lord. Look, you can trust in the Lord and take some precautions. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible, if we'll look at it. Proverbs 21, look at verse 31. Proverbs 21 and verse 31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. What does that mean? Look, if you're going into battle, as a believer, you know, the children of Israel going into battle in Canaan land, they realized that it was God who was fighting for them, that it was God who was keeping them safe, that it was God who was giving them the victory, but they still prepared their horse for battle. Do you understand that? They still put on armor. They still grabbed a sword. They still grabbed a shield. They still put on a helmet. They still prepared themselves for the victory, understanding. Now look, this would be the wrong. The wrong extreme is to prepare yourself for battle and not trust in the Lord. All your trust is in your preparation. And today, look, today many people are experiencing fear because the only thing they can trust is a doctor. The only thing that they can put their trust in is a physician. And look, I'm all for doctors and physicians, especially during times like these. But ultimately, our safety is in the Lord. Our trust is in God. But notice, he says, look, prepare and trust. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety ultimately is of the Lord. So we can trust in the Lord and take precautions. Go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. See, there's one extreme out there that's just complete panic and fear and afraid. But then there's another extreme out there that is just like, you know, just don't worry about this. You know, it's no big deal. Let's incorporate hugs or, you know, something weird, which obviously we'd never do that at Verity Baptist Church anyway, even if we're healthy. No, we're no hugs, all right? If you want to hug, you know, you can't, don't hug my wife. Go hug a tree or something. I mean, ladies can hug my wife, but Proverbs 22, look at verse 3. Proverbs 22, verse 3, the Bible says, a prudent man. See that word prudent? It means someone who's thinking ahead, someone who's wise, someone who has their eyes open and they're observing. It says, a prudent man foreseeth evil. A prudent man foreseeth evil and walks right into it. Is that what it says? It says, a prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. Now, you got these idiots on YouTube saying, well, if you hide yourself, then you must not trust the Lord. Look, he says you're prudent. If you can open your eyes and see, hey, there's a potential here for evil. There's a potential here to hurt that. It might hurt us, or maybe it won't hurt me, but maybe it'll hurt someone I love. Maybe it'll hurt my children. Maybe it'll hurt a grandparent. Maybe it'll hurt an elder person in our church. The Bible says, a prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. But the word simple is a Bible word that means stupid, just not smart. And sometimes it's used in regards to children, and obviously children aren't stupid, but children have not matured. They just don't know. Their mind's not there to be able to understand some things. He says, look, but the simple pass on and are punished. So there's one extreme that is just complete panic and fear, right? And then... And it's funny because we get the worst of both worlds. Because I make a video saying like, hey guys, we're just going to cut out all non-essentials. We're going to make sure that we're doing what God has commanded us to do. You know that God commanded us to meet for church? Amen. You know that God did not command us to have donuts? Now, I'm all for donuts. I love donuts. I think it's great, you know? But people are like, oh, you're running in fear because you got rid of the donuts. It's like, why do you go to church? You know, what is, you know, it's like, look, we didn't cancel any of the services. We didn't cancel soul winning. We didn't cancel anything that God actually commanded us to do. We've got, I love the choir, but you know that God, that, you can't find a verse in the Bible where God tells us we have to have a choir. I'm all for choir. I'm all for orchestra. I'm all for meetings and homeschool groups. I'm all for all of it. But those are the things we do that God allows us to do, ministries we have. But look, God commanded us to gather together, to sing, to preach his word to his people, and then for us to go out there and preach the gospel. We're not getting rid of any of it. Amen. We're not canceling any of it. But look, in order to continue to do those things, maybe we'll take some precautions. Maybe we'll be prudent. We'll foresee some evil, and we'll hide ourselves. We'll protect ourselves. That's not a lack in trusting God. So I make a video saying we're going to take some precautions, and people are like, you're not trusting God. And then other people is like, hey, we're not counseling church. And they're like, you are bad, you are irresponsible. It's like, good night. You got these two extremes, just complete and utter panic, not of God. If your heart is trembling and fearful, that spirit did not come from God. Now look, and I'm not saying that everyone that is staying home is being fearful, because I don't believe that. You know, and some people need to be staying home and they're taking care of their little ones. They're sick or they're at a high risk place. And it doesn't mean that they're being fearful. It means that they're being wise and prudent and foreseeing evil. But you know what? There are some people who shouldn't be staying home. And I'm not even saying that we know who and not. I'm just saying, you know, in your heart, If your heart's just overwhelmed with fear, then you're not right with God. So there's this extreme that's just complete panic, and then there's another extreme that is just lack of precaution. And look, trusting in the Lord, you can trust the Lord and take precautions. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. It is not a lack of faith to prepare. It is not a lack of faith to take some precautions. Go to Leviticus chapter 15. Leviticus chapter 15. Leviticus 15. If you kept your place there in Leviticus, go back to Leviticus chapter 15. And look, and people are like, oh yeah, I can't believe you're telling people they gotta wash their hands. It's like, have you ever read the Bible? Somebody, I think it was Brother Matt said, you weren't washing your hands before? Like, oh, maybe it's a good lesson for us. Leviticus 15, look at verse 13. Leviticus 15 and verse 13. They act like asking people to wash their hands is us lacking faith. Okay, Leviticus 15, verse 13. And when he that hath an issue is cleansed of his issue, when he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing, and wash his clothes, and bathe his flesh in running water, and shall be clean. Look at verse 27. And whosoever toucheth those things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes, and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. Here's all I'm telling you. There are some people who are taking a lack of precaution stand, and that is not a biblical, that is an unbiblical extreme. God actually tells you, you ought to have good hygiene. God tells you how to bathe yourself in water. You ought to wash your clothes. You ought to be clean. So look, we should trust in the Lord and take precautions. And look, you ought to take biblical, common sense precautions. There's nothing wrong with that. Just taking some biblical, common sense precautions is not a lack of faith. So what should we do? Well, we just read a couple of verses where God's telling you to wash yourself in running water, to wash your clothes, to bathe yourself. So what are some personal things that you can do? Well, you can wash your hands with soap and water. Okay, that's not a lack of faith. That's actually in the Bible. You know, if you can avoid touching your eyes, your face, your mouth, if you can avoid contact with others when possible, if you're sick, stay home. If you're high risk, stay home. You know, there's nothing wrong with taking precautions. So the Christian response is this balance where we're going to be wise and be prudent, and we're going to foresee evil, and we're going to realize that maybe this coronavirus thing can become a big deal, and maybe it's not going to affect you, but it could affect some of the people in our church that are struggling with their health or that are older, and we're going to do everything we can to try to keep them safe and healthy, but we're not going to allow panic to settle into our hearts. We're going to have this balance where we're going to say, I'm going to trust the Lord, but I'm going to take some precautions. But when you lack precautions, that's an unbiblical extreme. And when you just give yourself over to complete fear, that's an unbiblical extreme. And of course, we're taking precautions here, and I won't go over the list, but you know, we're asking people to limit fellowship time, and we're asking you to, we're not using the food, and we're not using the playrooms, and we're asking you to limit the mother baby room use as much as possible, and if your kids can stay out in the service, and you know, wash your hands, and we're canceling anything that's non-essential, you know, minus the church, we're taking those precautions, and that's completely scriptural. There's nothing lacking faith in regards to that. Now, let me talk about this real quickly. You're there in Leviticus. Go to Leviticus 13. Let's talk about quarantines. So what about quarantines? Well, I want you to understand something. Leviticus chapter 13 and verse 5, notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, and the priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, and this is, of course, about leprosy, he says, then the priest shall, notice what it says, shut him up 7 days more. In the Bible, God gave the authority and control to the Levitical priest to shut someone up if they had a plague that could affect the welfare of the rest of the nation. Look at verse 21, same chapter, Leviticus 13, verse 21. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, and if it be not lower than the skin, but be somewhat dark, notice what the Bible says, then the priest shall, notice these words, shut him up 7 days. They put them away and closed the door and isolated them and quarantined them. Look at verse 26, same chapter. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, and it be no lower than the other skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. Look at verse 46, same chapter. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be. What is that referring to? That's referring to quarantining somebody, isolating somebody who has a sickness that could affect other people. Look, do you realize that quarantine is actually a biblical concept? Now look, I realize that in our type of churches and in our movement, if you want to call it that, we've got people, and I'm one of them, who doesn't trust the government, and you know, you're libertarian, if you want to call yourself that or whatever, the government, you know, and we want to keep the government from taking our rights, and we want to give the government less power. And look, the government definitely uses hype and fear to be able to pull power away. I'm all for that, but please understand something, because I think some people, they're more of a libertarian than they are a Bible-believing Christian. And at the end of the day, my loyalty is with the Bible. And you can't have it both ways. Please understand what I'm telling you. We get up and we preach that if God had his way, the laws of Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy would be in effect, and God would put the sodomites to death, and he'd put witchcraft and witches to death, and he'd put, you know, the abortion doctors to death. You know, we preach those things and people get offended. And they're like, you're saying that you guys should do it. And we're saying, no, we're not saying that we should do that. We're saying the government should do it. Because God gave the authority to the government to do those things to protect the people. Well, let me explain something to you. In the same book that he says to put sodomites to death, God gave authority to his government to quarantine people. You can't have it both ways. Look, you got to forget. You just got to go with whatever the Bible says. And look, I'm all for limiting the government's powers. I'm all for, the government doesn't need to be in the welfare system and in the educational system. And there's lots of things that the government shouldn't do. But I will tell you something. When God gave laws for a nation like Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, he actually gave the government power. Here, the Levitical priests were the ones who were in charge of it. He actually gave them the power to quarantine people if they were sick and it was going to affect the nation. You may not like that, or you may think, ah, oh, you're just a liberal, and someone's going to send me an email telling me I'm a government pawn or whatever. But look, God actually gave the government, that's actually one thing. Should the government be putting in public school systems all over the country? You don't find that in the Bible. Should the government have welfare systems all over the country, giving money to homeless people? You don't find that in the Bible. Should the government be doing all the things that the government does? No. But if the government, if there's an actual epidemic and they actually call for quarantine, that's actually something God told the government they should be doing. So look, please understand this. If the government sets quarantine guidelines, you know, you ought to do, as a Bible-believing Christian, you ought to do your best to comply. If they're legitimate, if someone actually has the coronavirus, then they should self-quarantine. If the government's saying, look, you've got to, we got to protect society and we're going to try to keep this. If it's a legitimate thing, we ought to follow it. We ought not have this attitude which is like, we're always against the government for everything. 99% of the time, yes, the government's evil and wicked. But quarantining is actually a biblical concept. And you know, we should comply. Now, again, and people, it's hard sometimes to explain these things to people because people go, okay, so we're supposed to do everything the government says. I didn't say that. I didn't say do everything the government says, but I said this, if the government, if the priest, the government official is saying, hey, we got to shut this person up for 7 days because they might contaminate the rest of the people, then we just follow it. That's actually biblical. That's actually what the Bible says. Well, what if they push a vaccine? Well, show me in the Bible where God tells you to take a vaccine. The Bible says that you're not supposed to take unclean things into your body. God doesn't even want you touching unclean things, much less putting them in your body. We're talking about cells from dead monkeys, metals, putting that. So look, you need to be smart enough to understand. You know, Pastor Matt is telling you, hey, if they set some quarantine guidelines, let's do our best to try to follow them. That's actually biblical. What if they enforce vaccines? Then you disobey. Acts 5:29, then Peter and the apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And there's people out there that aren't smart enough to understand what we believe. And they think, oh, well, you're just going back and forth. Sometimes you say to follow the government. Sometimes you say you don't. Well, look, when the government's role lines up with what the Bible says, we follow it. And when the government tells you to do something that's unbiblical, then we don't. It's not that complicated. You don't have to make an entire YouTube, you know, a ministry trying to like, you know, expose us for our inconsistencies. It's not that hard. We obey God rather than men. Say, well, Pastor Jimenez, what if they enforce vaccines? I'm not taking it. My kids aren't taking it. You know, we're going to obey God rather than men. We're going to disobey that law because that is a law that is unbiblical. But if they set quarantine guidelines, we're going to do our best to follow them. If they're legitimate, if this is an actual epidemic where people can get sick. So what is the Christian response? There's two extremes. Complete panic, unbiblical. Complete lack of precautions, that's not biblical either. We need to be prudent and take some precautions, but we also need to just trust in the Lord. Now, I want to end with three sets of two, if that makes sense. I want to give you two ideas. I want to give you, three ideas. Two aspects in regard to biblical faith, and two sides of blessings and cursings, and two what-if questions. And it's not going to take as long as it sounds, I promise. But go to Exodus chapter 8, if you would. Just kind of by way of conclusion, let's talk about two aspects of biblical faith. Exodus chapter 8. Because I believe that many Christians have a wrong understanding of biblical faith. Amen. And I'm not talking about faith for salvation. Obviously, if you have a wrong understanding of faith for salvation, you're not even saved. Faith for salvation is that we trust in the Lord. We put our faith in Him, Jesus, to save us. Only Him, not us, not our works, not our good deeds, not our repenting of our sins. Our trust is in Him. When it comes to other things, though, like just praying, you know, because this is not a wise thing either. People get this idea like, well, if I just have faith that God is going to do this, you know, one thing, then it has to happen, right? And it's like, look, you don't understand faith. There are two aspects to biblical faith, and it's this. Biblical faith believes that God can, and biblical faith hopes and prays that God will. But biblical faith understands that God has no obligation to you to do anything. Because people want to get this idea like, and you even hear Christians say, well, yeah, if I get coronavirus, I'm the Lord, saved us of the Lord, I'm never going to get coronavirus. Then they get coronavirus, it's like, God doesn't exist or something. It's like you're trusting in something that God never said. Biblical faith is this, that God can. Do you know that God can protect you? I mean, what if this becomes an epidemic? What if we wake up tomorrow morning and 23,000 people are dead? Pastor, can we panic then? No. Biblical faith believes that God can save you. You know the first time you see the word pestilence in the Bible? In the book of Exodus, when Moses brought the plagues upon the nation of Egypt? You know what's interesting? When you study those plagues, I'll give you a couple of verses. Exodus 8, verse 22. The Bible says this, and I will sever. This is God speaking. Exodus 8, 22. And I will sever in the day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Look at Exodus chapter 9 and verse 26. Exodus 9 and verse 26. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. See, when Moses brought the plagues to the nation of Egypt, the children of Israel, they all lived in this place called Goshen. And God often protected that place. It was dark everywhere else except Goshen. There was hail coming down everywhere else except Goshen. The swarms of flies were coming everywhere except Goshen. And look, here's all I'm telling you. Maybe this plague is coming. Maybe this epidemic is coming. Maybe the wrath of God is coming to this country. You need to believe that God can protect you if He wants to. That, look, maybe God can crop out a little land of Goshen called Verity Baptist Church here. And He can keep us safe. And I'm not telling you He will keep you safe. Biblical faith doesn't command anything or demand anything from God. But biblical faith believes that God can. Amen. Go to Daniel chapter number 3. Daniel chapter 3. I've showed you these verses before. I love these verses. If you kept your place in the book of Proverbs, you have Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter number 3. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, look at verse 16. This is, of course, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're about to get thrown into the fiery furnace. Nebuchadnezzar's telling them you have to worship the image that he made. Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. I love these verses. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Nebuchadnezzar said, you're going to bow to my image, or I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. They said, we don't have to think about it. We don't have to pray about it. We don't have to consider it. We don't have to mince our words. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Notice verse 17. This is biblical faith. If it be so, if you throw us in the fiery furnace, if it be so, if the plague comes, if the epidemic comes, if the coronavirus comes to my neighbors all around me, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery, from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. See, biblical faith believes that God can. They said, our God is able to deliver us. Our God is able to do whatever he wants. But biblical faith not only believes that God can, it also hopes and prays that God will. Realizing that God is not obligated to do anything for you and for me. Daniel 3 and verse 18, notice what they said. But if not, they said, hey, our God is able to deliver us. Our God, they said to Nebuchadnezzar, they said, our God can make it so that we don't even have to go into that fiery furnace. They said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They said, our God can, and we hope that our God will, but our God is not obligated to. You know what's interesting? That God knows better. Because in this story, God didn't. They got thrown in, and God met them there. In this story, God didn't deliver. He didn't send down a bolt and kill Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't do anything to deliver. They got thrown in, and Jesus met them in the fiery furnace. So biblical faith. Please don't walk around here saying, ah, well, you know, I'm just going to shake everybody's hands because God's safety is on the Lord and I'm never going to get sick. You don't know that. You don't know that. Well, I have faith. Well, biblical faith believes that God can, and biblical faith hopes and prays that God will, but biblical faith understands that God is not obligated. God gave me salvation. If God does nothing else for me, he's done more than enough. Amen. God is not obligated to keep you safe. God is not obligated to keep you employed. God is not obligated to give you anything, do anything. Biblical faith believes that God can. Biblical faith hopes that God will. But biblical faith understands that God does not need to do anything. Because there are two sides of biblical faith, two aspects of biblical faith. But alongside with that, please understand this, there are two sides to blessings and cursings. Go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at four more passages real quickly, and we'll finish up. Matthew 5, verse 45. Do you understand that when God blesses a nation, America has been highly blessed of God. I'm not saying America is blessed right now, but I'm telling you, America has experienced the blessing of God. And when God blesses a nation, do you know that when God blesses a nation, he blesses both the righteous and the wicked? Matthew 5, verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. You know, when the sun comes up every day, it's a blessing to the righteous, but it's a blessing to the wicked too. You know, when it rains, it's a blessing to the righteous, but it's a blessing to the wicked too. When God blesses, please understand this. When God blesses a nation, he blesses both the righteous and the wicked in that nation. I'm not talking about individually. I'm talking about as a nation. When righteousness exalted the nation, does it not? And God blesses a nation sometimes because of righteousness, but there are still going to be wicked people in that nation, and they get to experience the blessing of God when God blesses. Well, let me tell you something. When God curses a nation, when God judges a nation, innocent people suffer as a result as well. Luke chapter 4, you don't believe me? Look at Luke 4, verse 25. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 25. Luke 4:25, but I tell you a truth. This is Jesus speaking. But I tell you a truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, when God judged the nation of Israel during the days of Ahab, when Elijah prayed that a famine would come and that God would shake that nation and judge that nation for its sin. Jesus said, hey, did you know that there were many widows who suffered during that famine? Look at verse 26. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. We love that story, don't we? We love that story of Elijah where he goes to the widow and he tells her, hey, she says, I'm going to bake a cake and my son and I are going to eat it and then we're going to die. And Elijah says, hey, that sounds great. Feed me first. And she's like, okay. And they feed Elijah and the oil that never runs out and that woman's blessed. And we love that story. But you know what Jesus says? He brought in another view to that story. He said, hey, that's a great story. Don't you love that story? How Elijah was able to rescue the widow woman. He said, but did you know that there was many widow women who suffered during that famine? But God only sent Elijah to the one. Look at verse 27. And many lepers. And many lepers were in Israel in the times of Eliseus. There's, of course, talking about Elisha, the prophet. Notice. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. We love that story, don't we? Naaman goes to Elisha, and he dips himself in the Jordan River 7 times, and he's cleansed. And Jesus says, that's great for that guy, but there was lots of lepers. See, sometimes when God judges, the result of sin affects innocent people. So look, I'm not up here telling you, trust in the Lord, and you might not get sick. If this becomes a big thing, you may get sick. I'm not trying to scare you, please. If you're starting to get scared right now, go back to point number one. But you need to understand that God's blessing upon a nation will be a blessing to the righteous and the wicked, and God's cursing upon a nation can also hurt innocent people. So you say, well, what do we do? What do we do? Well, let me answer 2 what-if questions for you. Go to the book of Job, if you would. If you kept your place in Proverbs, if you go back from Proverbs, you have Psalms and Job. We're going to look at Job, and we're going to look at Psalms, and we'll be done. Job, just by conclusion, we talked about 2 aspects of biblical faith. Biblical faith believes that God can. Biblical faith hopes and prays that God will. All with the understanding that God is not obligated to. Then we talked about 2 aspects of blessings and cursings. When God blesses a nation, it lands upon wicked as well. And when God curses and judges a nation, sometimes the widows get hurt too. And sometimes not all the lepers get cleansed. So here are the 2 what-if questions. Well, what if we get the coronavirus? Then what? What if I wake up tomorrow morning and everyone in my neighborhood has it? And what if I get it? Well, Job chapter 13 and verse 15, Job said this. Job 13 and verse 15, he says, though he slay me. This is Job who's lost all his children, who's lost all his finances, whose his relation with his wife has deteriorated. She's telling him, curse God and die. He's lost everything. And he says, though he, referring to God, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Amen. Why do we all get the coronavirus and we die? Hey, though he slay me, you know what the Christian response is? Yet will I trust in him. He says, and then I love this. He says, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. You see that? But I will maintain mine own ways before him. I think it's funny how people react to these things. Christians in particular. It's kind of like Brother Matt said. People are like, oh, wash your hands, wash your hands. Well, you weren't washing your hands before? And Christians, they're like, the judgment of God is upon this nation. We got to pray. We got to read the Bible. We got to seek God. And I want to ask them, well, you weren't praying before? You weren't reading the Bible before? You weren't seeking God before? See, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. You know what Job said? Job said, nothing changes. If God wants to bless me, then I will continue to do what I was doing before. And if he wants to kill me, I'll maintain my ways. You say, what do we do if this coronavirus just explodes and it becomes this huge epidemic? What if it's the new black plague and people die? What do you do? What do we do? You know what? You wake up tomorrow morning, you open up your King James Bible and you read it. You get on your knees and you pray to God. You go soul winning. You say, well, what are we going to do? I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow that I did yesterday. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to love my family. I'm going to go soul winning. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to maintain my ways before him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. We're just going to keep doing what we've always been doing. Because we believe that God is in control. See, as Christians, we need to just trust God. What if I get the coronavirus? You just trust him. And you just keep doing what God has called you to do. You say, Pastor, what if I die from the coronavirus? What if someone who I love dies from the coronavirus? Well, go to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. You know the verse, but let's look at it. Psalm 23, verse 4. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Psalm 23 and verse 4, the Bible says this. Psalm 23 and verse 4. You say, what if I die? What if someone I love dies? What if it comes close to us and close to home? What if someone actually dies as a result? What if I'm laying there on my deathbed because of the coronavirus? What advice do you give me, Pastor? And Psalm 23 and verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. See, our trust in God is not dependent upon our circumstances. We stand up like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, he is able to deliver me. He can. I believe he can. I hope he will. I know he's not obligated. But when we get thrust into the fiery furnace anyway, we just believe God will meet us on the other side. And our faith doesn't waver. And fear doesn't settle it. And we just trust the Lord. So wake up tomorrow and say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what comes, no matter what evil, what judgment, what plague, what epidemic, what terrorist attack, no matter what happens, our trust is in the Lord. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, Lord, we do thank you for this time. We realize that this is a difficult time. The Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And though we don't rejoice over sickness or death of innocent people, we do thank you that this is an opportunity for us to show the world that our trust is in you, and for us to take an opportunity to strengthen the weakened hands, to confirm those that are shaking in fear. Lord, help us as Christians to respond properly, not to give in to the extreme of panic, but not to give in to the extreme of lack of precautions. To realize that it is wise to take precautions. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. We prepare the horse for the day of battle, but at the end of the day, safety is of the Lord. You are not obligated to do anything for us. But we believe you can. We pray you will. And if you choose to slay us, we will trust in you. Lord, I pray you'd help. I just pray that you'd help us, Lord, to settle these truths in our heart. Things may get a lot worse in this country. And if they do, Lord, help us to have the proper response to this coronavirus. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.